Welcome to AMA Edgewise. I'm Dave Summers. AMA Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association.
Don Fotopoulos is founder of bestsmallbizhelp.com, an award-winning blog and resource site for small business people. A former banker, she is currently an associate professor of business at King's College in Manhattan. Dawn, welcome to the program.
Thank you, David. Great to be here.
This book, I know, is going to be generating a lot of interest. And the interesting thing is, I think a lot of it has to do with this sort of fear. It's a combination of fear and doubt and annoyance we have with this subject, but this inevitable need to know. And of course, I'm talking about Accounting for the Numberphobic, a survival guide for small business owners. Brilliant work on the title and the subject matter. What's been the reception that people come to you with in the marketplace for this type of title, this type of book, this type of content?
Well, David, first of all, you have to understand what's going on with this constituency, namely small business owners, right? We're in a marketplace now where people are trying to create their own jobs, and they're trying to take hobbies and turn them into cash flow for their households. And they're talented, amazing people, but they're really struggling. And I met a lot of these people through my Levin classes. I teach at the Levin Institute for Entrepreneurship, and that's sponsored by the Kauffman Foundation. And the response has been phenomenal because people have said, finally, somebody has created a safe space for me to come in and learn about the things that I've been so scared of. And more importantly, the book is really, it's a survival guide for small business owners. I mean, that's really what it is. But instead of coming at it from, you know, social media marketing and all these other things, well, I'm going to get more customers and that's going to save me. People don't understand that you have to manage what you do have. That's the key to working half as hard and making twice the money. So if we could learn how to read our financial dashboard, we can solve that problem. So the whole purpose of the book is really the book is on a mission. And the mission is to reduce the number of small business failures.
Now, many small business owners, they dread, you know, that's actually a polite word. They dread looking at the numbers for their businesses, and they hire someone, an external person, an outsider, with a strong understanding of numbers, could be an accountant or a bookkeeper. Yet understanding a business's financials is essential. It's a core type of component to being successful. Now, in order to grow a healthy and thriving business, you have to have that core capability. What would you say is the first step to getting a handle on the numbers for the Numberphobic?
It's a good question, David. And we use the analogy of driving a car in the book. You would never attempt to drive your car with your eyes closed. I mean, you just wouldn't do that.
Not a good idea.
Not a good idea. So it's not a good idea to run your small business without understanding how to read your net income statement, your cash flow statement, and your balance sheet. And that's really all it is. It's just pretty much three statements. What the book is arguing for is not that you put these statements together. That's what you hire the accountant to do for you, right? You feed the accountant all of the numbers. The accountant worries about the debits and credits, or your bookkeeper worries about the debits and credits. But the management reports are your responsibility. And why? Because your accountant isn't going to run your business any more than your mechanic is going to drive your car. It is your responsibility. But here's the thing. If you can understand, or if you can answer, let's say, three key questions. Am I making money? Do I have enough cash to pay my bills? And am I building wealth instead of destroying wealth? You've got to be able to answer those three questions. And the three statements I just mentioned, the net income statement, cash flow statement, and balance sheet, they'll answer those for you. So the holy grail is not only to understand what's been going on in your business, but to be able to look forward and say, if I make a decision today, what's going to happen to my cash flow next month? What's going to happen to my profitability next month? And I've taught the contents of this book face-to-face in the classroom in seminars to hundreds and hundreds of small business owners. And in a short three-hour time frame or two-hour time frame, the light bulb goes off over their heads and the future of their businesses completely changes. Their risk profile completely changes because now they know what to do.
And what would you say is, given the number of interesting stories I imagine you've heard over the years on this topic, what would you say is the most common mistake that a small business owner makes when it comes to not understanding the financial side of things?
Oh my gosh, give me a hard question, okay? Give me a hard question. I'll tell you exactly what it is.
But do you see like clusters of answers?
Sure. Oh, of course. And one of the things that I've seen is what I mentioned a minute ago, mm-hmm. where if I'm really in a cash crunch and I'm really struggling and I don't know if I can pay the bills next month, then the first thing I'm going to do is try to get more customers. But what happens if that's your knee-jerk response is you can, in fact, scale an unprofitable model. And what I've seen over and over again is people that are running unprofitable business scale, and all they do is dig a deeper hole faster by doing that. So let me give you an example. One of my small business owners is a jewelry designer, and he's brilliant at what he does. He's got 350 clients, $750,000 a year in revenues, not a teeny tiny business. But his gross margins were 10%, which means that he's only getting a very, very small premium over what it's costing him to make this jewelry. So the way he was going to get out of that hole, that problem, because he had trouble paying his bills, is he was going to get more customers. So he brought on more customers. And he ended up creating $400,000 in debt because he didn't have enough money to run the business. Mm-hmm. So the very first thing we talk about is the net income statement in the book, and we take it line by line. And we really make it funny. I mean, the illustrator mm-hmm. worked for Disney for 20 years. Mm-hmm. So I said to him, you're going to take this dry, brittle topic, and we're going to make the only accounting book that makes you laugh. Mm-hmm. So we take the net income statement, we break it down bit by bit, and we show you that if you don't have a 30% gross margin or higher, you can't afford to stay in business. Mm-hmm. And nobody will tell you that. The only way you find it out is in the trenches with a lot of blood and sweat and sleepless nights.
It's something you have to do. It's something you have to live through, right?
Yeah, it really is. But if we could make it easier for folks, mm-hmm. right, or the startups, get them off on the right foot, it won't take them 5 or 10 years to figure it out. They'll know it at the outset.
Do you think that it's something that people carry with them through their lives? I mean, you hear stories about people who are, I was never good at math. You know what I mean? That kind of mm-hmm. thing. I'm in high school and, oh, don't ask me, you know, this is not a math. Do they equate things like accounting to math?
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Of course. And, you know, this is just addition and subtraction.
Yeah, that's all it is. Yeah.
That's all it is. But when I go through the net income statement, either in class or in the book, and I go through it like step by step, I have graphic artists and interior designers. They'll look at this and they go, oh my gosh, is that all it is?
That's all it is.
And I said, yeah. And then they go, oh my gosh, I'm not making any money. Like, I don't have to tell them.
Exactly.
They know. But the most important thing is they know what to do to fix it.
Yeah. And the neat thing is it's not even so much like we had caught up, especially I interview so many authors where subtitle of their book has something to do with demystification. This is beyond demystification. This is sort of taking that base level, almost like animal fear out of the subject.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you, it's not just fear, but it's shame. A lot of people.
Interesting.
Yeah, a lot of people say, you know I should know this, but I don't. Mm-hmm. But I'm too embarrassed to admit it.
And not admitting it gets you into more trouble.
Yeah, not admitting it gets you into bankruptcy.
Yeah.
You know, and so the thing that people need to understand is you may be wildly gifted at what you do, and that's a great thing. We have amazing people in this country that have great gifts and skills, and my job is to just take the shackles off their ankles so they can run the race they were born to run. That's really my
job.
Sort
of like the accounting equivalent to like Free Willy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just go. Be free.
That's right.
You know, I'm liberating you.
Do your thing. Do your thing. And support your household at the same time. There's no reason why you can't.
How much time does someone who is number phobic, this is like an intervention group. Hi, I'm Dave. I'm number phobic. How much time does someone who is number phobic need to devote to get a solid understanding of their business numbers? Is this a time consuming thing? Is this something that can be picked up with diligence in a short period of time? What's the time requirement?
Okay, it's really easy. And first of all, if you're learning something new, even like driving a car, you're not going to become expert overnight.
Mm-hmm.
But you can still learn the basics and it will still open your eyes to what's important.
Mm-hmm.
So the way the book is written, each chapter you could probably read in about an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are key takeaways, and those key takeaways are application. How do we change today these three things, these four things, to change your future a month from now, 6 months from now, 6 years from now? So the book is written so that you can sit with it for an hour, you can sit with it for 15 minutes and just get some basics, take some notes in the margin. Also, I have a series of training videos that reinforce, mm-hmm. it's called a crash course mm-hmm. on best small biz help. It reinforces what's in the book. So if you're a visual learner, you can get the information that way. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, if you're a reader, you can get it through the book. So it doesn't take long is the short answer. Mm-hmm. And I would say that probably within a week, your eyes are going to open up. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting is when somebody who is blind gains sight, they never choose to close their eyes again.
No. All right. A balance sheet can be pretty complicated to the untrained eye. What should business owners focus on when they're looking at this amalgam of information? And how can they dissect the balance sheet to get an understanding of the state of their business?
It's a really good question. And the reason why the balance sheet matters is because the balance sheet is like the catcher's mitt. It captures everything that's gone on in the business, the cumulative totals of everything that's gone on in the business from the day you opened up your doors. Mm-hmm. The balance sheet is nothing more than just the net worth statement of the business. So the bigger question is the business worth simply the breakup value of your desk and your computer and whatever assets you have? Or is there something bigger going on? Can we actually sell a business? And the short answer is, yeah, you can. But you have to build asset value into the business. The balance sheet really only has three sections. At the end of the day, it's only three sections. And those sections are broken down into subsections. But at the end of the day, it's your assets. And those are things that you own. Liabilities, that's the stuff you owe. You got to pay back, right? Your credit lines, your credit cards, your mortgages, whatever. And then the owner's equity section, which is simply the difference between the two. That's all it is. The owner's equity section is kind of like a foot number. Mm-hmm. It's nothing you have to necessarily look at, but it's the difference between assets and liabilities. Mm-hmm. In chapter 7 and 8 of the book, we have something called How to Win Friends and Influence Bankers. Mm. So if you're doing business with a bank, and virtually every small business owner is, if you have investors and those bankers are going to hone in on the balance sheet before they look at anything else, because they want to know if your assets are greater than your liabilities and if your asset base is growing. In other words, you're generating profitability, you're generating cash flow, you're generating gross margin, so your asset base begins to swell in a good way mm-hmm. relative to how much you've borrowed. That's a healthy business. And we go through how a banker looks at your balance sheet so that you can see the world through that banker's eyes. And we also give you some understanding as to when you should borrow money, how you should borrow money, when you should apply for a loan, how much debt can you carry without sinking the business? I mean, these are basic questions, mm-hmm. but most small business owners don't know the answers to them. So I was a banker. I was a vice president for Citibank for many years. And I thought it was really important that a small business owner had an insider's understanding mm-hmm. of how the financial world looks at them, so that they can be really wise about how to approach them. So, for example, in a lot of the incubators that help small business startups, they focus on pitching investors and they mm-hmm. focus on putting the business plan together. But they don't really teach you how to manage cash flow when you finally get the business up and running, right? Which is what the book will help you do. Mm-hmm. And it's really simple stuff like how to invoice, what should be on the invoice, who should get the invoice. Mm-hmm. It doesn't sound like a big deal. But if that doubles your cash flow, mm-hmm. man, through just doing simple disciplines, yeah. it can change your life. And in fact, I've had so many stories from my small business owners. This one wonderful lady, she's an interior designer, and we went through these basic disciplines with her. She was having a really, really hard time paying her bills. 2 years later, she's making 5 times the money. I saw her. We had coffee last week. She looked 10 years younger because she's finally getting some sleep. Right. And she said, I can't believe how easy this is. And I said, you know what? It's not easy. You just understand it.
Yeah.
Right. So that's the holy grail for me. And the vision is to do that with 1 million people, not just with a few hundred.
Now, you say something interesting in the book, that a small business could actually be showing a profit and yet still be going bankrupt. Now, I watch a lot of Discovery Channel and Science Channel, and every now and then there are these hypotheses about ancient aliens coming to visit the Earth and stuff like that. Tell me, how is it possible to show a profit and yet still be going bankrupt?
It's a really good question. And you know what? 99% of small business owners do not know that you could be showing a profit. And the answer to whether or not you are showing a profit is on the net income statement, right? So they just look at the net income statement, and if they understand that, they think they're on safe ground. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times your revenues don't translate into cash, not completely. The reason is, you know, you book a revenue when you ship the goods and when you finish the project. A lot of times there's a time lag between revenues and cash because you bill the client and the client takes 30 days, 60 days, whatever it is to pay you. Sometimes the client takes a discount for a variety of reasons, or sometimes the client goes bankrupt and they can't pay you. So there are lots of reasons why revenues don't always translate into cash. And the definition of bankruptcy is what? Drum roll, please. Running out of cash, right? So the reason why the net income statement is just not enough to give you a good sense of what's going on in the business, you need the cash flow statement too, because the cash flow statement is going to tell you if you have enough cash to pay your bills, right? So we need to understand the net income statement and we need to understand the cash flow statement. But the cash flow statement is really simple to understand because it's like your checkbook. It's like your personal checkbook. You know, you start with a bunch of money, money comes in, money goes out in expenses, and you end up with ending cash. It's really pretty much that simple. And what I recommend is that you have enough cash to pay your bills for at least 90 days. And it's important to look at the cash flow statement because you got ebbs and flows during the year. If you're a photographer, you know what? You don't have a lot of business in January and February. Everybody's busy paying off their Christmas bills. So your revenues are going to be low in January and February, but you may still have expenses. You got to pay your insurance, you got to buy equipment, whatever. So you can plan for that. And in the book, we talk about how you can actually do some very, very simple forecasts so that you can look ahead and see where the cash crunches are going to be and then plan for it. So the definition of bankruptcy is running out of cash or sources of cash. And as blood is to your body, cash is to your business. You run out of cash and you're not going to survive. So we're advocating for, yes, you've got to be profitable, and absolutely you have to have free cash flow. So in chapter 10, I talked to Norm Brodsky, who's a very successful entrepreneur, and he's gone bankrupt twice in his life. So he knows both sides of the coin. And he said something. He said, you know, success in a small business is being able to live off your own cash flow, where the business is self-sustaining, and not only can it support itself, but it can also support you and your household. So the book really shows you step by step how to get there. Instead of crossing your fingers and praying that you'll get there, it shows you the roadmap.
The other thing that I find interesting, and I'm sort of digging a little bit deeper on the earlier part of the answer you just gave me, this idea of some customers are going to pay you within 30 days, 60 days, whatever. They might be going out of business themselves. We don't know. But with this type of awareness, with this type of orientation, you'll actually be able to almost perform a little bit of business jujitsu and say, you know, what kind of customers do I really want to have?
Perfect. Absolutely. So here's the big head fake, Dave. Okay. When I go through a client list with a small business owner, and I still give seminars, most of them have no idea which customers are making them money and which ones aren't. They assume the large customers are profitable, and you can't do that because a lot of times large customers are not profitable. They slit your throat for a nickel when it comes to pricing. They take forever to pay you. Ever do business with the federal government? That's a real mind-blowing experience, okay? So you may get big business because the federal government's huge. You may get a big order, but you got to wait 18 months for your money.
Right.
And oh, by the way, the federal government will tell you what they're going to pay for it. You don't tell the federal government what you're going to charge.
Right.
So unless you're a really super low cost provider and unless you have a lot of cash where you can finance a year, 18 months waiting for your money, it may not be worth it for you to deal with a large customer. And that's just one example. But I mean, corporate customers can play the same game.
Sure.
Right?
It's just that awareness, you know?
That's right. And not only what customers are profitable and which ones are not. So in the book, we say, you know, don't despise the day of small beginnings. It may be that your small customers are paying your bills.
Right.
They need you. They're going to pay on time,
yeah.
And you may need a diversified number of them. But if you lose one small customer, it's not going to sink your business.
Right.
If you have one huge customer and a lot of small customers and you lose that big customer, it could really be a problem,
yeah.
Put you in crisis, right? So what customers are profitable and what products or services are profitable?
Mm-hmm.
That's where the net income statement can show you gross margin by customer and gross margin by product or service. So then you can start making good decisions about focusing your time and effort on those things that are going to make you money.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I've read the book and I'm feeling the love and, and I'm feeling knowledgeable and confident in my ability to at least not fear the numbers and understand where things are going and what my lifeline is and, you know, that type of thing. I'm less fearful and I have more common sense about the number side of it. At what point, with that newfound confidence and understanding, do I go to an accountant or bookkeeper? And do I even need one at that point if I'm super confident? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, my thought is that a bookkeeper and an accountant, they have important roles. An accountant understands GAAP accounting principles. They understand what's changing in terms of IRS regulations. Everybody needs an accountant. And unless that's your specialty, I encourage everybody to have a professional in their corner who can make sure that the business is being presented in a sound way on a timely basis to the IRS. If you're an interior designer, you don't want to have to worry about that stuff. And frankly, the book is not going to make you an expert on GAAP accounting principles. That's not the purpose of the book. The purpose of the book is to teach you how to read your management reports, to read your dashboard,
right,
so that you know how fast you're going, how much gas you have in your tank, and how much pressure you have in debt.
Right.
And that you need to know to run the business in a good way. So yes, you need an accountant. I also have a bookkeeper because I don't want to deal with statement reconciliation every month. I separate out my personal from my business, which you need to do if you're in business, no matter how small your business is. It's wise to do that. And it just takes some time. And I'd rather be doing the revenue producing activity. I'd rather be spending my time building a manuscript for a book like this where I can reach a million people. And a bookkeeper, frankly, if you have a really solid bookkeeper, can actually reduce your accounting costs.
Mm-hmm.
Because a bookkeeper might be $50 an hour, an accountant might be $200 an hour. If the bookkeeper does his or her job well, then the accountant doesn't have to spend a whole lot of time putting,
sure,
together the taxes.
Right.
So that's kind of how I manage my life. Intuit has a fabulous product called QuickBooks, and they have it both on a desktop version and a cloud version. And I'm a QuickBooks mentor, by the way. I'm going to be out in Silicon Valley.
Cool.
In a couple of months at the QuickBooks Connect conference. It's the very first one they've ever had. So you do need an accountant.
Mm-hmm.
The book is not going to preclude your need for that.
Sure.
But I think the book will make your relationship with your accountant a whole lot richer, because now you're talking the same language.
We've been speaking to Dawn Fotopoulos. She's author of actually a very interesting book entitled Accounting for the Numberphobic, a Survival Guide for Small Business Owners. Dawn, this has been enlightening. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Dave. Great to be here.
AMA webcasts bring you 60 minutes of thought-provoking insight, specific answers to your management challenges, and conversations with renowned thought leaders. Best of all, they're all free. For a complete schedule of upcoming webcasts, visit the events calendar at amanet.org/events. Here at the AMA, we value your feedback. If you've ever attended any of our webcasts, webinars, or seminars, you've no doubt encountered our feedback surveys. Well, our podcasts are no different. You can either email us at podcast@amanet.org or call 800-697-3406. Your comments may become part of a future program. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.